We will continue this morning with our study of the Baltimore Catechism, beginning today or covering Lesson 26, the Holy Eucharist. In the Holy Eucharist, the third sacrament that we are covering will be covered in three different lessons. Lesson 26 is on the Holy Eucharist, Lesson 27 is on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and Lesson 28 is on Holy Communion, the act of receiving the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Holy Eucharist is the greatest, of course, the most noble of the sacraments, and we could, if we might use this terminology, call it the queen of the seven sacraments, in the sense that the other six sacraments all serve the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. In other words, baptism prepares a Christian and gives a Christian, gives an individual the right to receive Holy Communion. Can't go to communion until we've been baptized. Confirmation strengthens a person, makes a person more able to live and defend his faith, that he might be worthy to receive the Holy Eucharist. Penance prepares someone who is in need of absolution to receive Holy Communion. Holy orders provides priests to make the Holy Eucharist available. Matrimony increases the church, thereby making the Eucharist able to be received by more, etc. And St. Thomas Aquinas ties in every one of the other sacraments as, in a way, subservient, you might say, to the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist as being the most excellent and, in a sense, the one for which the other six sacraments were instituted. Of course, baptism is the only sacrament that is absolutely essential, but we can also say that the Holy Eucharist is essential for those who attain the use of reason, although not absolutely so. For our divine Lord said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you." That means to say that if we stay away from Holy Communion for a long period of time, we will, or sooner or later, fall from the grace of God, inevitably, because of the weakness of fallen human nature. The Holy Eucharist is spiritual food to strengthen us and make us able to resist temptations. And the longer we stay away from communion, the weaker we will find ourselves becoming. What is the Holy Eucharist? The Holy Eucharist is a sacrament and a sacrifice. In it, our Savior Jesus Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine, is contained, offered, and received. So the Holy Eucharist is a sacrament and a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice because in it it is offered in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the victim of the sacrifice of the Mass. It is a sacrament because it was instituted for our nourishment, for our spiritual welfare. In the Holy Eucharist, the Catechism question or answer states, Christ is contained, offered, and received. So there's a threefold purpose for the presence of Christ in the Eucharist: to be contained in the Blessed Sacrament, that we might come and adore Him and worship Him here in the Church. He is offered to His Heavenly Father, so He is there to give us the sacrifice, and He is received in Holy Communion. He is there to nourish us when we receive Him. So there's a threefold purpose to the institution of this sacrament. The word Eucharist is a Greek word meaning thanksgiving. We also apply other words to this sacrament. We refer to it as the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Sacrament of the Altar, the Bread of Angels, and the Heavenly Banquet. What do we mean when we say that the Holy Eucharist really and truly contains our Lord? When we say really and truly, we use these words in order to get across the point that our Divine Lord is present in the Blessed Sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity, entirely. He is really there. Protestants, or many Protestant groups, claim that our Lord is only figuratively present, that the Holy Eucharist is a sign or a figure, a symbol of the presence of Christ. And contrary to that, we know as Catholics that in the Blessed Sacrament, our Divine Lord is truly, really there. And so we say our Lord is really and truly present, to show that He is physically present. We know that Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, the night before He died, in the presence of His apostles. How did Christ institute the Holy Eucharist? Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist in this way. He took bread, blessed and broke it, and giving it to His apostles, said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then He took a cup of wine, blessed it, and giving it to them, said, All of you drink of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is being shed for many unto the remission of sins. Finally, he gave his apostles the commission, Do this in remembrance of me. So our Lord at that moment instituted both the Mass and the Blessed Sacrament. He gave them himself in the Blessed Sacrament, and he told them to go forth and do the same thing. Do this in commemoration of me. And so he willed that the Mass and the Blessed Sacrament be perpetuated until the end of time. When our Lord said, This is my body, and then the words of the consecration of the chalice, This is my blood, etc., the entire substance of the bread was changed into his body, and the entire substance of the wine was changed into his blood. Now, we normally say that in the host is contained the body of Christ, and in the chalice is contained the blood of Christ. But we must realize, the Catholic Church teaches, that in the host is contained the body and the blood of Christ, and in the chalice is contained the body and the blood of Christ. So when you receive Holy Communion under the species of bread, as we say, you receive the entire sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, body and blood of Christ. Because our Lord can't be divided. When he was hanging on the cross, the blood was flowing from his wounds. All of the blood of his body was shed. Even after his death, a soldier came with a lance and pierced his heart, and the little bit that was left flowed out. So his body and blood were separated on the cross. But once Christ rose from the dead, he's whole and entire and can't be separated. So you can't say that only the priest receives the blood of Christ. No, you receive the blood of Christ also when you receive the host. The appearance of the host, we usually say, is the body of Christ, and in the chalice is the blood of Christ. But we must understand that under each species, Christ is contained whole and entire. And there's one more interesting point to be mentioned about the Blessed Sacrament, and that is that Christ is present whole and entire in the Blessed Sacrament, in the host, and in every particle of the host. He is present whole and entire in the chalice and in every drop in the chalice. So if a priest is short on hosts, he can fraction a host, he can break a host, and give you half of the host, and you still receive Christ whole and entire. You can't say that you receive only part of Christ. Our Divine Lord is whole and entire in the host and in every single particle of the host. Now, there is only one Christ. There are not 100 Christs, or however many we have in the tabernacle here, or in all the tabernacles of the world. How can that be? It is a mystery. And you remember when our Divine Lord worked the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. Here there were 5,000 men, besides women and children, following him, and they were in the desert, and they had not food. And our Lord asked the apostles, How many loaves do you have? And they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he blessed the bread and broke it, and then told the apostles to distribute it. And it was miraculously multiplied so that all of these people were able to eat to their fill, and there were 12 baskets left over. So this was a type or a symbol, a figure of the multiplication of himself that he intended to perform in the Blessed Sacrament. So there is only one Christ, of course, but yet he multiplies himself in the Blessed Sacrament. And when the priest divides the host and you receive only a part of the host, you'll still receive the entire Blessed Sacrament. What answer do you give to those who say that Christ is only figuratively present in the Holy Eucharist? To those who say that Christ is only figuratively present in the Holy Eucharist, we answer, first, he himself said, This is my body. He did not say, This is the sign of my body, but simply, This is my body. Second, he knew that the apostles and the entire church for many centuries would believe on his word that his real body and blood are in the Holy Eucharist. And if he did not mean this, he would have used words clearly indicating that he was referring to a merely figurative presence. Now, I will add a couple other ways by which we can prove Christ really meant what he said. St. Paul says, He who eats of this bread and drinks of this chalice unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, those are very serious words. For someone to be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Would St. Paul have said that if it was merely a sign, a symbol of Christ's presence? If you ate mere bread or drank wine that was supposed to be a symbol of Christ, could you be said, if you did so unworthily, could you be said to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord if that was only a sign, a symbol? Moreover, we know that in the early church, all of the great fathers of the church, Tertullian and Origen and St. Cyprian and all of these early saints and fathers of the church, all taught that Christ is really present. So it shows that the early Christians all believed this, the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And it wasn't until around the year 1000 that Berengarius came along, and several hundred years later that Martin Luther and Calvin came along. There's an interesting story that is a true story, and that's told in the beautiful book by Father Mueller called The Blessed Eucharist. And there was a devout Catholic man named Leonardo who was a painter. And this man walked into an inn one day and sat down to have supper, and there were two men there at the table discussing and ridiculing the Catholic doctrine of the Blessed Sacrament. And one was a Lutheran and one was a Calvinist. And the Lutheran said that if that the Blessed Sacrament, that the body and blood of Christ, the Holy Eucharist, is not really truly Christ, but it can become Christ at the time of reception if the person has faith. Then it becomes Christ for him, but maybe not for the next person. And the Calvinist says, no, not at all. It's just a sign or a symbol. And this Leonardo listened to this, and he didn't say anything, but he took out a piece of paper and a pen or pencil, and he started scribbling. And he was a painter, so he drew a picture in the center of Christ. And on the left, he drew a picture of Martin Luther, and on the right, a picture of Calvin. And under the picture of Christ, he wrote, "This is my body." Under the picture of Martin Luther, he wrote, "This becomes my body at the time of reception if you have faith." And under the picture of Calvin, he wrote, "This is a symbol of my body." And he showed him the picture, and they both looked at this, and they were dumbfounded. They had nothing more that they could say. Christ isn't a liar. He said, "This is my body." One of the most beautiful things about Scripture is that it is so profound, but also it is so simple. And sometimes people can be so, try to read so much into the simple, beautiful words of our Lord that they end up distorting the truth contained in the simple words. This is my body. This is my blood. Very simple. And of course, our Lord was God. He knew what he was saying, and he meant what he said. Did anything of the bread and wine remain after their substance had been changed into our Lord's body and blood? After the substance of the bread and wine had been changed into our Lord's body and blood, there remained only the appearances of bread and wine. So we say, when the priest says the words of consecration over the host, there is a change of substance. There is no longer bread present on the altar. There is now the body of Christ. But still, there remain the appearances of bread. It still feels like bread in the hand of the priest. The host feels the way it felt before. It doesn't feel like a person's flesh. It still feels like a host. It still looks like a host. It has the same color, the same shape, the same weight, the same texture. And when you receive it in Holy Communion, it tastes the same as it tasted before. If you would take a host that's unconsecrated, the taste is the same. So the appearances mean everything that appeals to the senses, the sight, the touch, the taste, the smell. All of that remains the same, but the substance changes. And this is a miracle we call transubstantiation. There is nothing else in nature that we could use as a perfect example. Perhaps the closest example could be used from physical food. When we eat food, our body breaks down or changes that chemical substance and changes it into energy and also into the particular things that we need to rebuild and repair the parts of our body that need to be repaired, or the body as it grows, etc., to make new cells. And so our body changes the substance of the food we eat. But again, there is no perfect comparison for this change of one substance into another while the accidents or appearances remain the same. The change of the entire substance of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ is called transubstantiation. And this word, transubstantiation, means the change of one entire substance into another. Jesus Christ is whole and entire, both under the appearances of bread and under the appearances of wine, as we said before. And again, Christ is present whole and entire in every particle of the host. Now, there's an example that sometimes is used to show how Christ is present in each part of the host, as well as in the entire host. If you took a mirror, you look in this mirror, and you see one reflection of yourself. If you were to drop the mirror on the floor and it broke up into five pieces and you look at it, then you would see five pictures of yourself, one in each part of that mirror. Now, there's still only one of you, but you see five reflections when the mirror is broken up into five pieces. And so it is a similar example with Christ. There's only one Christ, but his image, you might say, his presence actually, is in each host and in every part of each host. How was our divine Lord able to change bread and wine into his body and blood? Our Lord was able to change bread and wine into his body and blood by his almighty power. When did Christ give his priests the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood? Christ gave them this power at the Last Supper. He made them his first priests, and he said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." When he said, "Do this," he meant, "Do what I have just done, that is, change bread and wine into my body and blood." Priests exercise their power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ by repeating at the consecration of the Mass the words of Christ, "This is my body and this is my blood." Saints have been very eloquent, and spiritual writers, when they spoke of that power of the priesthood to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. For Almighty God to create you and me and this world in which we live, Almighty God did not use as great a power when he created the universe as a priest uses when he changes bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Think of that. The priest is given God's power, and the priest exercises a greater power than God himself used to create the material universe, because he commands God. Almighty God obeys his priest and comes down upon the altar. It is something we cannot fathom. Why does Christ give us his own body and blood in the Holy Eucharist? Christ gives us his own body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, first to be offered as a sacrifice, commemorating and renewing for all. Faithful in Holy Communion, and to remain on the altars, that we might be able to come and make visits to the church, that we might be able to worship him, and that he might be able to prove to us his love for us by remaining, as we say, a prisoner on our altars. Think of that. God is a prisoner in that tabernacle. If I or another priest would not come and open the tabernacle and give him to the faithful in Holy Communion, he would stay there. And he would stay there as long as he is left to remain there by the priest, like a prisoner. If our Lord is brought and given in Holy Communion, he obeys the priest. He doesn't move of himself, you might say. He allows himself to be moved and handled by the priest. And even if our Lord is given in Holy Communion to someone who is unworthy to receive him, he still goes. He doesn't say, "No, and I'm going to stay here in the ciborium." Our Lord is like a little prisoner in the hand of the priest. So what a beautiful example he gives to us. Hopefully, by reviewing this catechism lesson and all three of these lessons on this sacrament, the most noble, the greatest sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, we will grow in our love for our divine Lord, our desire to be with him, to receive him in Holy Communion. From time to time, read something on the Blessed Sacrament to nourish and enkindle your devotion. Human nature being what it is, unless we do something to motivate our devotion, we tend to grow slack. Our communions can become routine. We can become somewhat accustomed, unfortunately, to receiving Holy Communion, and we can begin to slip on our preparation or our thanksgiving. And so it's important for us to rekindle our devotion from time to time. The most beautiful book you could read on this sacrament is called The Blessed Eucharist by Father Mueller. And we encourage you to read it if you've never read that book. And pray for the grace to enkindle and to grow in your devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, because truly, we could never enough appreciate what our Divine Lord has done for us in giving Himself to us in the Holy Eucharist to be worshipped, to be prayed to here, and to be received by us in Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.